Good morning. If you'd like to take your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. Let's begin with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time of the week when we can open up the Word of God together, the living Word of God, the Word that is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. It not only points out our deficiencies and where we fall short, but it points out the truth of the glory of God, the God who made heaven and earth, the God who gives wisdom to those who seek for it. Lord, we are at your mercy this morning. Our need of you is great. Bless us, Lord. Bless those who mourn today. Their hearts are heavy. And Lord, we don't have answers, but we know the one who has all the answers. We know who holds tomorrow. And Lord, we need you to speak to us today so we can live the way we ought to live, the way you designed us to live, the best way to live. So teach us your wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I think for most of us, this is perhaps our favorite time of year. End of May through June. I just can't get enough. I like to get out and walk and just smell the smells and see all the shades of green that God has made. And yet it's, I don't know how many times this time of year is a time of tragedy. It just is. Accidents happen and people are taken from us. And it's a tragedy. But there's another tragedy that I think Proverbs is going to point out to us this morning, the tragedy of wasting your life. We're going to look at some characters in Proverbs today and it's sort of a progression of how people grow. And as I've been reading in Proverbs, and I read in Proverbs quite a bit, I have, it just sort of dawns on me, no child plans to waste their life. No boy or girl sets out to be a fool, and yet, without proper guidance and without an understanding of the truth, Jesus said, the road of destruction is broad. We're going to begin with Proverbs chapter 1, if you would follow along, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining, what's the purpose of Proverbs? For attaining wisdom and discipline. For understanding words of insight. For acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. Doing what is right and just and fair. For giving prudence to the simple. Knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. In the New King James, it gives the, in verse 2 and 3, the same things in a bit different language, but it's this, to know wisdom and instruction. It's out there, it's possible to know it. To perceive the words of understanding, and to receive the instruction of wisdom. So it's not just enough to know about it. You have to think about it, and then you have to accept it. You have to receive it. You have to live by it. It doesn't come natural. It's like trying to get a little boy to listen. You ever try to get a five-year-old to listen? It just doesn't come natural. You have to sometimes take him by the shoulders and get into his face so he sees yes. And he's not that he doesn't want to listen. There's just so many things that captivate his attention. But I hear from the ladies that it's not all that natural for husbands to listen either. Well, he just won't listen. That's sometimes the comment you'll hear. And it's not that we're not listening. We think we can multitask, but studies have come out saying that you can't really multitask. You don't really concentrate on one thing at a time. And we're evidence of that. To perceive the words of understanding, I would think that most parents try to do this. But my dad was the kind of dad that never said a lot. I wish he had lived longer so I could have gotten to know him better, but he didn't live past middle age, and so I didn't get that opportunity. But he never said a whole lot, and so I kind of thought, well, when I get to be a dad, I'm going to say a lot. And maybe I said too much. I don't know. But a lot of us are in the same situation. Some people had parents who just knew what to say and when to say it and invested in you. But others, we just kind of had to find our own way. Because maybe my dad just didn't know the way. We need to hear the call of wisdom. All through the book, you hear this calling. Wisdom calls. It calls out in the street. It calls to everybody. But there's all kinds of calls. All kinds of voices calling. It's like you're listening to TV, and they say they don't do this, but we know they do. They turn up the commercial. You can hardly hear the show, and you're turning it up and up, and then the commercial comes on, and it practically knocks you out of the room, but they say they don't do that. It's because they think we're stupid. But what they're trying to do is get our attention, and the voices of the media get loud and insistent, and we just get overwhelmed by them. We think that's what's important. And then to receive the instruction of wisdom. You notice it's not just for the young. It says, let the wise listen and add to their learning. So as adults, it doesn't matter what age we are, we're supposed to ask and seek after wisdom and add to the wisdom that we have. But there's another thing, and I don't mean to just direct this all toward men, but since I'm a man, that's sort of how I think. Men don't ask directions. Right? That's another thing. You know, we don't listen all that well, and we don't ask directions. And there's a reason for that. When we're out exploring, that's what we're doing. Did John Cabot ask directions? You know, did Christopher Columbus ask directions? No. They just wanted to discover for themselves what it was and where it was. And that's how we think. And we have an internal GPS, a global pride syndrome. It's just not in our... We don't think it's in our best interest to ask somebody. But I'll tell you something. There's two things that come over and over again, two verbs over and over again in Proverbs. One is listen, and the other is ask. So guys, you're going to have to really track with me because I want you to listen, and I want you to ask. And you ladies too. The two characters I'm thinking of as you read through Proverbs, they just kind of keep popping up, and they're sort of at the beginning. One is my son, and the other is the simple. So we'll start off with my son, Proverbs 1:8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. The word son there is Ben. How many have a Ben for a son? A couple of us have Bens. And I chose that name for a purpose, because I like the name, Benjamin, son of my right hand. And it specifies in here an intimate personal relationship. And it doesn't disclude girls. It's collective. It's children. But, you know, he's thinking, because he says he identifies himself as the son of David, and so he's talking to his son. So the emphasis is on this man, Solomon, and his son. And a man achieves social continuity through his son, just like today. If you want to pass along your name, you do it generally through your son. The son, in a way, is a measure of the father, which is rather scary for us fathers. The loss of a son was devastating, and it still is. The loss of a son, a father, a grandfather. The word Ben, or son, is from the word bana, the Hebrew word bana. You know what it means? It means to build. I really like that concept, building a son, building a daughter. We were at the Boyds the other night, and we watched Al and Heather build Liam. Because can that boy ever eat? He's just a little guy, although he's stretching up, but he just turned 6, and he ate more than I ate. He ate more than Al ate. And he's just got this voracious appetite, and they're building him, right? Of course, they're building them in a lot of other ways, too. But it's an interesting concept, the idea of a parent building your child. One of the things I noticed, and you know the saying, youth is wasted on the young, and that's really true. Not that it's a waste to be young, but man, if we only knew then what we know now. When you're young and your boys and girls are little, you think you got lots of time. Man, you got nothing but time. And you even long for the days when they grow up and can fend for themselves somewhat. And we don't take them for granted, but we take growing up in a way for granted because we tend to take time for granted, and time goes by really quickly, and all of a sudden they're grown up. All of a sudden they're not listening much to us anymore. They're making their own way in the world. And so that's why he says here, listen, my son, to me. Listen. And it's not talking about a little boy. It's talking about any person. Some of you dads went and watched your children take part in track and field those last couple of weekends. I used to love those. And you know why? Because my son would run, and he was quite a runner, and mainly a long-distance runner. And I loved to watch him run, and I wanted him to win. You know, when I was a boy, I wanted to win. But when you have a son, you want him to win. And you want him to do better than you do. And you want him to excel and to live a wise life and to know God and just succeed where you didn't. That's just a desire that we have. When I think of my son, he is the hope of my life. I get emotional when I think about him because I love him so much. And we need to get emotional about our children. Because it's when you get emotional that it moves your heart. And our heart needs to be moved so we'll teach them and love them and care for them and nurture them and redeem the time. Because the time is short. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, and applying your heart to understanding. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. We don't just want them to listen. We say to you young people, you need to accept what we say, store up what we say, apply your heart to it, call out for it, ask for it, look for it, search for it. It's more important than money. There's nothing more important than it. Pursue it. Don't wait till you're older. Pursue it when you're young. This is such a critical time. Some of you young people, you're like 15, 16, 17. Some of you are graduating this spring. Best thing we could say to you is to seek wisdom and ask God. God is willing to give it if we're willing to ask for it. And so who does the son become? Well, he can become, or the daughter, become one of the wise. That's sort of the progression here. Become one of the wise. Someone who is intelligent and applies their intelligence to doing what is right. And they get experience and they learn how to make right decisions. But Proverbs says something really important in chapter 3, verse 5. Verses that maybe many of us have memorized. We would do well to memorize these. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. See, that's a bit of a human problem. We become wise in our own eyes. We know. And we don't need anybody over 30 to tell us, because we know. And we know because we don't need any preacher to tell us because we know. And we know because we don't need our wives to tell us because we know. We just know. And the fact is, we don't know very much. And when we're wise in our own eyes and we think our opinion matters more and we can see everything and we see the whole picture, Proverbs warns us and says, no, don't fool yourself. Trust in the Lord. He knows the whole picture. You just know a little bit of it. The wise and the prudent. Back in verse 1, it talks about being prudent. And a prudent person is somebody who's just wise in handling practical matters. They have common sense. Proverbs were given, verse 3, chapter 1, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. What does a prudent life do? It does what is right and just and fair. It exercises good judgment. And that's what we want our children to become. We want people to become wise people who exercise good judgment. Why? Because every day you're forced with decisions. You have to make decisions. Now, let me just give you a little bit of advice there, young men and single men. Proverbs chapter 19. This will save you a lot of grief. Proverbs 19:14, houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Or a prudent husband is from the Lord, but he's saying wife here, so maybe that's the bigger need. Ask God for your mate. You know, I don't know how people, I guess people, you know, they go about different ways of finding people, but ask God to give you somebody. Say, God, give me a prudent wife. What's a prudent wife? A wife that has common sense and won't steer you wrong. She'll help steer you right. I'm very thankful to have a prudent wife. That's one of the best, second best gift I've ever gotten next to Jesus Christ. What happens to the wise and the prudent? Then they become the upright. Proverbs chapter 11. Somebody who is upright, according to Proverbs, the word upright means to make something straight, to be right, to have ethical behavior, a straight shooter. Or what we would call a marksman. Somebody who just hits the mark. The upright. What does the word say about the upright? Verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them. What's integrity? Integrity is doing the right thing when nobody else is watching. Integrity is telling the truth and being honest. Integrity is that you, what you are on the outside is who you are on the inside. Integrity is character. And the integrity of the upright guides them. But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. In other words, if we have a double mind, if we think that we can get away with things and we can say one thing and do another and we can tell somebody one thing but sneak around on the other side, that's duplicity and that will destroy us. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath. Boys, we've got to mark that down. Wealth is worthless on the day of wrath. What's the day of wrath? The day trouble comes. The day you meet God. God's not going to care how much money you've got. But righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless makes a straight way for them. But the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them. But the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. In other words, when the person who practices being upright comes upon temptation, it's easier for them to get through it because they're less likely to be trapped. Why? Because the unfaithful are just weak. When you become wise and prudent and upright, you're becoming strong. You stand straight, and morally you stand straight. And you get through life better. You cut through problems better. There's less obstacles in your life. But you don't get there. There's no shortcuts to getting there. And then if you persist in these things, Proverbs describes them as being righteous. A righteous man. One who is honest toward others and obedient to the laws of God. The righteous. Proverbs 12:26 says, a righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And over and over and over again, there's a theme in Proverbs, be careful who you choose for friends. I wasn't very careful when I was 17 or so. Not careful enough. Be careful who you choose for friends. Why? Because the way of the wicked will lead you astray. Proverbs 29:7, there's so much you could say about these, there's so many themes in here, but Proverbs 29:7 just kind of illustrates what a righteous person cares about. 29:7 says, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. People who are righteous care about other people. People who pursue wickedness, they just care for themselves. That's just the way it is. And so there's this progression. My son, if you listen to me, and if you apply yourself to knowledge and seek after wisdom, you'll become prudent and wise and upright and righteous. That's what we want for our children. Why? Because they'll have a better life. They'll get through life better. They'll be happier. They'll be joyful. They'll have less problems. It's a fact. That's how it works. It doesn't take a lifetime to get here. I know some people in this congregation who are not yet 20 who are wise. And that's really neat. And we know people who are much older than that and aren't very wise. And what it is simply this. It's consistency over time that builds uprightness and builds wisdom. Well, let's look at the other character. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4. for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. We used to use that word a lot when I was a kid. We'd say about so-and-so, they were pretty simple, pretty naive, pretty green. You remember, I remember this commercial. And I know some of you remember this commercial. And I was racking my brain the other day. What was this commercial about? I think it's from the 60s. It was, "Don't be a stoopy-doop." Do you remember that? Who remembers that? "Don't be a stoopy-doop." Marion, you remember that? Yeah, you're the only one that remembers "Don't be a stoopy-doop." Are you a stoopy-doop? What was it about? You remember what it was about? Was that part of it? And what was it about? Smoking or running? Jaywalking or something? I think it was about smoking, wasn't it? And you know those typical 60s commercials? "Are you a stoopy-doop?" You know, it's just kind of like, oh dear. And you know, that kind of stuck with me because I didn't want to be a stoopy-doop. Like, you know, that's really bad. But a simple person in the Bible is someone he's kind of gullible. He doesn't really have, it's not like, you know, a father looking after a son in the sense of caring. It's just somebody who's just kind of without direction, without somebody watching over him, without a mentor to kind of say, "Son, you're kind of going the wrong way here. You need to follow my way." Somebody without moral direction and inclined toward evil. And believe it or not, some people are more inclined toward evil than others. They tell us that one out of four children is compliant, roughly. I kind of wish I had the fourth, you know. Because three out of four children are not very compliant. Amen? I probably talk to any four of you, and probably three of them, you're kind of, "Oh my gosh, what's going to happen?" And there's that one that just seems to kind of, yeah, just kind of follow what you say. Proverbs 1:22. "How long will you simple ones love your simple ways?" Okay, it's one thing to be naive and not know, but if a person isn't taught or doesn't listen, they become inclined toward simple ways, ways that lead them into trouble. Proverbs 1:32. "For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." In other words, the simple who doesn't quite, you know, have any direction, sooner or later is going to get into trouble. Proverbs 14, verse 15. "A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps." That's really incredible. You know, a simple man believes anything. It's kind of like, you know, really the conventional wisdom of our culture. People believe anything. You believe you came from a swamp and that your ancestors were apes. I think that's pretty simple. You know, the whole premise of evolution is that the complex arose from the simple, but they can't find anything simple in nature. Everything is so incredibly complex, it just completely negates the idea that the simple can give rise to the complex, because nothing is simple. People believe anything if it tickles their ears. Proverbs 14:18. What's that say? "The simple inherit folly." Okay, there's a reward for this simple kind of life and simple kind of thinking. And it's not the kind of reward it's really not a reward at all. It's a payment. It's an inheritance. And you inherit foolishness, folly. Proverbs 27:12. "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it." The simple just don't see. So be careful what you listen to. Because that's where it starts. The admonition for the children is to listen. But if you don't listen and you start practicing simplicity, then what's the next thing that you become? Well, you become a fool. Simple's kind of benign. You know, we've all been a bit simple, but who wants to be called a fool? It doesn't really... Verse 22, "How long will fools hate knowledge?" Man, that's really getting kind of serious. A fool hating knowledge. A fool is defined as somebody who's foolish or stupid. We don't use that word stupid much anymore, but that was a popular word when I was growing up. You know, it was just kind of like stupid. It's a kind of a good word. It's like stoopy-doop, you know. It just kind of defines the fool is somebody who's morally deficient. If the simple is without direction, the fool is deficient. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. The way of a fool seems right. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Ooh, that's getting close to home. Because every once in a while, you'll read some of these things and you go, jeepers, that's exactly what I do. Yeah, there's a bit of fool in all of us. Now, kind of alongside the fool, although maybe just not quite as active, is the sluggard in Proverbs. The sluggard. Let's look at the sluggard. Proverbs 6:6. We don't use that word much anymore, sluggard, but it's a good word, isn't it? Slug. Actually, I used to call my brother Slug. I don't know why, because he really wasn't. But actually, in one season, he used to work at a feed mill, and he weighed about 110 pounds, and he could carry a 100-pound sack on. I don't know how he could do it. And he was just skin and bone, and then he got laid off and ate pizza and drank beer. And we called him the slug because he put like 50 pounds on in 3 months. But he was anything but that. He's always busy. But the sluggard is not very busy. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Boy, that's a vivid illustration. Maybe some of you work too hard, but boys, it's good to want to work. Work's good. You don't want to get robbed by poverty. So the sluggard, he's kind of maybe a bit comical character, but the next character is really not anything comical about him at all, the mocker. And again, there's this sort of progression. It's simple. It's kind of inclined. The fool is deficient, but the mocker. Proverbs 9, verse 7. Whoever corrects a mocker brings on insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. We all probably know a mocker or two. There's a few around. Actually, there's quite a few around. Mockers are people that scorn everything. They got a negative outlook on everything, but especially a negative outlook on God. And they just don't keep it to themselves. They're very verbose. They talk big. That's what a mocker is. He's a big talker. And if you try to correct a mocker, they'll just turn on you. This is what it says here. You want to rebuke somebody? Come rebuke me. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. That's how you can tell the difference. How do you react when somebody brings you up short? Do you say, they don't know what they're talking about? Or do you say, maybe I better listen to that? Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. You know, and I just had a bit of a story about my youth. I remember one spring, we were wandering around looking for something to do at night. You know, we were still in school. I think it was grade 11, maybe. I was about 16. And, when 15 to 20 guys are walking around town, they kind of get into trouble. Somebody's always suggesting trouble. You know, it's sort of like, we've got the whole crowd. We've got, the sons, we got the simple ones, we got the fools, we got the mockers, and we've got the wicked, or at least the wicked in training. So we were walking by Bryn Phillips' service station in New Glasgow, downtown New Glasgow, and we're walking by, and it's right on the main drag, and somebody says, "Hey, see that trailer over there? Let's put it in the river." Ooh, because behind Bryn's station was a hill, fairly steep, went right into the river. It was like a boat launch, and boom, right in. So we gaffled on, and I can't honestly remember if I got my hand on that trailer or not, but I probably did. But you know what it's like, eh? You know, there's three or four guys, and they're already gone. As soon as somebody suggests that they're gone, and you're just kind of standing there, oh, what am I going to do? Well, you're either going to go home or going to go with them. And most of us, we're just simple. We just tag along, and get into trouble. So sure enough, we got on that trailer. It was one of, it'd probably carry a ton or more. Had four tires, and somehow we got her straight, and man, did that thing hit that water just like kaboom. And it was dark, and well, we knew it was good because we, you know, we succeeded. Well, funny thing happened the next day in school. The police arrived, and they came to everybody. I couldn't believe how they knew who we were, you know. They knew every one of us, like who was watching. I don't know. But, you know, the wicked guys, the guys that thought it up, they knew who to go to. And I don't know if they gave everybody else out, but even us simple ones, we just got caught up in it. And it was pretty stupid. It was a pretty stupid thing to do. The wicked. Proverbs 2:12. This is who I really want to warn you about. Verse 12 says, "Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse." You know, we've never lived in such a day when there's so much perversity being thrown at everybody, and particularly our youth who are trying to figure out which way to go. You are being told every day things that are flat out evil and wrong, and they're presented as being right. You're told that you can do what you want without any consequences. You are told that you can have sex with whoever you want without any consequences. You are told that you can drink and, you know, pretty women will fall at your feet. That doesn't happen. You know, it just doesn't happen. But they lead you to think it happens. It's perversity. Perversity is simply taking what's right and twisting it around so it's just the opposite of what is right, and it's dressed up to look intelligent and look attractive so you'll say, that's what I want. And the Bible says that's what wickedness is. Proverbs 24:1. Do not envy wicked men. Do not desire their company, for their hearts plot violence, and their lips talk about making trouble. This is not a foolproof rule. It doesn't always, people's lives don't always follow this pattern. But you know what? Of that crowd of 20 or so boys that pushed that trailer in the river, the leaders, several of them, are not on this earth anymore. They just never even lived to middle age. God has a way. Why? The wicked get themselves into trouble consistently. And you know, there's a lot of wicked people that run our society, and they hold up. You know, I don't know who the latest you know, teen heartthrobs are. I guess Bieber and Lady Gaga. Is that who the two big ones are? And you know, it's sort of like envy these people, want to be like these people. And yeah, I guess Justin Bieber didn't say a whole lot, but Lady Gaga sort of says a lot. And should we be envying and following those people? Well, I tell you, you better think carefully about what role model you follow. Is it too late to learn? I've been all these people. I've been the simple. I've been the fool. I've been the sluggard. I've been the mocker. And I've been the wicked. So have a lot of you, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. It isn't too late to learn. There's hope. I mean, none of us pass the test here. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5. We'll finish up with this. That's not as simple to tune out, okay? That's just a heads up. Proverbs 8, verse 5. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. It is possible to get it. Well, how? Well, it's around. You have to look for it. You have to listen for it. You have to ask for it. Verse 17. I love those who love me. This is wisdom talking. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. That sounds like somebody else's words, doesn't it? Isn't that what Jesus said? If you seek me, you will find me. Who is wisdom anyway? It's our Lord. It's the living God. It's Jesus Christ. He's wisdom in a body. He's wisdom personified. And even though he's calling in the Old Testament, he's still calling you to seek and find God alone. Can rescue a fool. God alone can change a mocker. I used to mock God. I used to mock the minister. Isn't God got a sense of humor? I'll just make you one. I don't mock him anymore. Kind of learn a little humility. God can change you. Maybe you, what does it say somewhere else? I can't remember the verse. If you play the fool, put your hand over your mouth. If you do something, then you realize that what you're doing is foolish or simple or mocking or wicked. You need to start running the other way. You need to start asking God for wisdom and asking God to change you. You want wisdom? You know, you ever notice there's 31 chapters in Proverbs and there's 31 chapters in most months. I'd say if you want to get some wisdom in your life, start reading a chapter a day of Proverbs. It's easy. It's become one of my favorite books. Every time I read it, I just get something new. When you read, what do? You say, it says, verse 7:1, my son, keep my words, keep my commands, and you will live. And you pray, God, help me to keep your words. You just turn it back to God and say, God, give me wisdom. God, I'm asking for direction. I'm not sure what decision to make. What should I do? And I'll tell you the other thing you should do. Maybe you didn't get the advice you could have used when you were young. There's a lot of men here who I would consider to have wisdom. And maybe there's some younger men who need somebody to come alongside them. Most older men would gladly share with younger men if the younger man would ask. Ask. Older men like to be asked. Not that we know everything, but we might shed a light on a few things. When I was 17, I didn't ask. So when you're young, ask. You know, it's very difficult for a father to figure out what's going on in his son and daughter's mind. We can't even do it with our wives. We're not mind readers. We're pretty dumb, you know. But sometimes you just need to ask for where you're struggling, where you just don't understand about life. And maybe your dad or your mom just might have some wisdom for you. It's there for the asking. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, as we stand here this morning, we are every one of these people. Lord, we've all played the parts. We are not as wise as we ought to be, and we've done foolish things. We have mocked the God of the universe, and yet we, by your grace, we can stand here today. We have not been struck down. We have done wicked things. We've been wicked people. And yet, God, you've been pleased by your grace to declare us righteous in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, you can turn any life around. There's no life that you cannot change. There's no past that you will not forgive. There's no future that does not have hope. But, Lord, it begins today. And so, God, we just pray as a needy people. Lord, I pray for any of those who are sons and whose moms and dads and people in their lives are trying to get their attention, that, Lord, they would listen to wisdom. And, Lord, we want to pray for anyone who just seems to be without a bit of direction. Maybe there isn't somebody who's speaking into their lives. That God, they would avail themselves and ask somebody what they should do and what the decisions they should make and which way they should go in life. But Lord, we need to ask you. Lord, give us forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Lord, you sent Jesus Christ to suffer and die as punishment for our sin, so you could declare us upright and righteous in him. And Lord, if there's anyone here today without Christ, Lord, you do not care what they've done. You just simply know them as sinner. But Lord, you offer them grace and mercy and forgiveness for all their sins to give them a new start. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today who lacks wisdom. Lord, let them ask of you. And Lord, may they seek out somebody whom they respect and ask and listen. Bless us this week, Lord. Help us to walk close to you. Lord, may we walk in such a way, not knowing what tomorrow will bring, being grateful for every moment that we have, realizing, Lord, our lives are in your hands. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.